Welcome, beloved.
From way up there, it looks so
this
small.
Is Light Alchemy here, Podcast, so Season 2. Pursuing the Empathy Utopia as a community. In this episode today, I talk with Brittany D. of Divinity Experiencing. She's a psychic medium and an intuition development coach who awakens the spiritual aptitudes of those around her. She shares her birth story and about how becoming a mother and meeting her twin flame completely transformed her life and her business. If you are on the path of magic or a seeker yourself, you'll really enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome. On today's episode of Light Alchemy Podcast, we're going to be talking with Brittany Day. She's a psychic medium and spiritual teacher here to help us talk about body acceptance and the process of surrender with our body's journey. Recently initiated into motherhood, having a very challenging pregnancy and birthing her baby by an unplanned C-section, she will help us get some perspective on what it means to truly surrender to the body's path and love it through all the waves of ups and downs. Welcome, Brittany. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Lior. Thank you so much for having me here. It's not only a gift to, you know, to just share my story and my work, but especially talking about the body and just, yeah, leaning in and accepting and surrender. Like, you know, yeah, it's just the body is its own being and you got to work with it and not against it. And I think that was a huge lesson that I learned in my pregnancy journey was working against it. The resistance.
Right.
But I do want to just so that you guys like know who I am. Hi, I'm Brittany. Brittany D is actually how it's pronounced. So that's okay. People say day all the time. No worries. I think that if you read it, it translates like that, but it's actually my middle name. My last name is actually Boyle. So I'm Brittany Boyle, but I go by Brittany D for everything that's like business or anything along those lines. So that way it never has to change because I plan on taking my man's last name, but I don't want to change all my business stuff. So we went with first name, middle name. My mom used to sing this song when I was a kid. I don't know why this is coming to me, but she would go, Brittany D, Brittany D, prettiest girl I ever did see.
Oh so my God, I'm crying. That's me.
So I'm a psychic medium, spiritual teacher. I've been doing this work, like officially, you know, in like a structured way for the last 4 years. Wow. I can't believe we're going past 4 years now. It was October of 2018. So that's really wild.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. And they always say that your best year in business is your fifth year. So I'm like so excited for 2023 and like spirit is aligning some serious magic that I'm like, okay, I see what y'all talk about. the main thing I would say that I teach on is intuition development. Not only, you know, to become a channeler and for psychic mediums, but also just people that are wanting to live intuitively and to really be able to trust themselves and know their inner voice, you know, basically the difference between that trauma voice, the ego voice, and your intuition and your higher self, and really being able to differentiate those two voices inside of yourself. That is the epitome of my work. And you just come home to your true self, to your higher self. I also do, you know, readings and whatnot. And basically how that journey started is very related to my twin flame Kundalini awakening.
Ooh.
So they're actually intertwined. Yeah,
yes.
They're intertwined. So whenever I was a kid, I connected with, you know, beings and you know, sensed all these things. And I'll try and make this story quick, but basically, whenever my dad passed whenever I was 3 years old, And whenever I was 7 years old, my aunts, we kind of stayed in contact with this family, but they kind of drifted off a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, we hadn't talked to my mom or my aunt for like 3 or 4 months. And out of nowhere, she called and she was like, listen, I don't know how much you're into this or like open to this stuff, but I've been going to see this medium to connect with my brother, my dad.
Right.
And the medium keeps saying that, like, he has a message for his kids. He has a message for his kids. Like, he wants me to bring his kids in. And, you know, prior to this, I would do this thing. I'm 7 years old and I'm thinking that these feelings and these sensations are like scary demons or like boogie monsters or whatever it is, you know? So I would do this thing every single night. I mean, I'm talking like clockwork every single night. I would go up to my room, you know, we would finish dinner or whatever, we were watching TV or whatever it was downstairs. And I would go up to my room. And as soon as I turned around to go down the hallway to my room, I would run down the hallway. And as soon as the carpet changed, I would jump on my bed. So that way the boogie monster wouldn't come out and snatch his, you know, hands out underneath my bed and drag me under. Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah. Just don't touch the floor and he can't grab you. And so anyways, you know, I was doing that like literally clockwork, I would say for like anywhere from like 4 to 6 months, every single night. Never told a soul. I never told anybody that I was doing this or that I was experiencing this. And then out of nowhere, my aunt calls and my mom is like, yeah, anything that has to do with their dad, like I'm totally down for them, you know, to heal, you know, and to get whatever it is. She didn't know much about mediumship, but she was like, go for it, you know? So my aunt picks us up and, you know, we go downtown Philly. I mean, it was like the epitome of like in the movies where you like pull like the little shades back and you like go down in the little like cellar and
yeah,
he's like sitting there with his little table and all his little crystals and gems. And I'm 7 years old. Think about this, Lior, the consciousness of a 7 year old. Okay.
Right. You're so open.
I have no idea what's going on, why we're even here. And I sit down in front of this man and all he does is look me straight in the eyes. And he says, your dad just wants you to know that there's nothing to be scared of at night. He's just coming to check up on you.
Oh, and I'm like,
7 years old, and this man, no one has any idea that I'm even doing this. Ooh, I still get chills down my legs.
My goosebumps on my cheeks right now.
And I'm just like, oh my God, this is my dad. Like I felt something, but I thought it was the boogie monster, you know? Jeez. And so then as soon as that switch flipped and I could be open to this thing and talk to, you know, see what it was trying to come for, then I started creating communication and my dad actually ended up becoming, you know, my teacher from the other side. And we started creating these communication systems and he would turn on the lights in here and do these, you know, we would do these things and I would know that it was him and I would no longer be scared of it. And then we started picking colors and all different kinds of stuff in order for us to be able to communicate different things with one another.
Wow.
And that's really, I mean, you know, that's really when I would say like my psychic medium journey really started. But I would say that like in high school, I went through a depression and I was using and all kind, and it kind of like dimmed down a little bit. And then I went through a spiritual awakening when I was 19, sold all my shit, you know, got dropped off in the middle of the woods.
Oh my God.
I had no plans at all. I was like, yo, universe, like just take me. I was so done with the matrix paradigm. So that was another awakening. And I call that 5 years of traveling, like my intuition training, because like everywhere I went, everything that I did, like traveling is all intuition based. Like, where should I go? What should I do next? And just being guided, you know, to the next best place and the next best spot or the next best job or whatever it is. So I call that my intuition training. And then whenever that was coming to a close, I actually was leaving a relationship with we were traveling together, you know, we were exiting that relationship. And right as I was exiting that relationship is whenever I met my twin flame, had my twin flame Kundalini awakening, and everything that I had been experiencing, you know, since I was basically 7 years old, like on and off throughout my life, it was like fully online. Like there was no more like on and off. It was no more of that. Like, it was like, everything is on and activated. We are fully online. You're not going to be able to dim this light down anymore. Yeah. So that's whenever I started, you know, Spirit told me that you're going to help people with this. You're going to show them. And I didn't even know, I didn't even feel like I knew how to do it myself. I'm like, how am I going to show people how to do this? I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing myself, you know? But yeah, that's whenever, divinity experiencing was birthed, and I started doing readings in a structured way. And then, you know, 6 months later, opened my office, and then it just started snowballing and has become the most beautiful fucking thing ever that I like have created. And yeah, so it's been a journey. But I think that that's why like intuition is my thing, is because, that's like my, when I look back on my life, I'm like, oh, this is what you were preparing me for. Like literally starting talking with my dad under my bed at 7 years old, you know, like, oh, you were like helping me with my life purpose. Now this makes sense.
Yeah. Nature is really sophisticated. She doesn't waste a thing. None of the experiences that we have are meaningless. You know, it's just a matter of like, can you hold on long enough to look back and reflect
and be able to see,
realize like what those were for? That's so beautiful. And I love also how you're speaking to like that there's sort of this, you know, I think a lot of us who have access to that intuition naturally, right, over time, like all of the pressures of the environment are sort of dimming that light. And, and, you know, so there is that wavering of like, I have access, I don't have access, I have access. Now it's gone again. Am I imagining this whole thing? Like, you know, and I think it makes it really easy for us to gaslight ourselves.
Yes.
Out of our gifts.
Yes. Yes.
I love that, like, you know, even somebody whose entire life is to here to, you know, develop intuition still experienced that trial of like having to doubt and having to go through that doubt and then come through the other side. And I love that, like, a twin flame was the key to that. I want to hear more about
I get chills as you say it. It's incredible. Right?
Like, how do we even define a twin flame and like versus a soulmate, or like, are they the same thing?
Well, I actually just started on my YouTube channel. I just started teaching about twin flames last month. Yeah. Spirit has been on my ass. Well, actually, I originally started teaching about twin flames right after my Kundalini awakening, right after I, you know, even found out that twin flames were a thing. I didn't even know until I experienced it myself, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I it was kind of me talking on it and trying to tell about it was actually messing with my own journey. Cause I hadn't gotten to like a seasoned place in my journey where it was like integrated and embodied. I was like still in the very, like, I'm still figuring this out myself and I'm talking about it. Like, I know what I'm talking about, but I don't. And so now that I'm, you know, not only in physical union, DJ and I are currently moving into harmonious union. It's been over like the last month or two. I'll kind of explain the difference between those two as well. Spirit has been on my tail the last, like basically since the beginning of September, is like, listen, you need to do this. We need to do this. So I actually just started, it's called Twin Flame Tuesdays, and it's on my YouTube channel. I also do light language on Mondays. If anyone's into that,
I love those. I listen to those every morning while I'm making my to-do list for the week. They're so relaxing.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I, for the longest time, because it was like messing with me and my production and creation of them to listen to them, I haven't been listening to them for the last 2 years. I've been doing these and I don't listen to them. Right. But listen, I'm, my contract is ending with them at the end of November. And I've decided that I'm going to basically put that same energy into the Twin Flame Tuesdays and do something different with YouTube. And so now like I'm in the last month, I'm like, oh my God, I can like start listening to these. And now I'm like listening to these. I'm like, yo, these are so good. These are so dope. Like, I didn't even know that I was just putting out some serious fire for the last 2 years.
I'm so glad that you get to like enjoy them now as you like take that energy and
So I actually just listened to two this morning. Amazing. I love them so much. Listening to Smile is the music that I do it with. So just a little background on those is that the album that they produce a new album every single month. And the album is in alignment, the binaural beats and the tones and all the sounds that they put in them in each track is exactly in alignment with whatever the astrology of that month is. So the tones and the sounds and the binaural beats are supportive of the energies that you're currently working through. And then I put theme with my light language of whatever we're working through at that time.
Yeah.
But so you can always go back and listen to. Yes, yes, exactly. But you can always go back. Like this morning, I listened to one that was light language for releasing guilt and shame. And I was like, oh yes, that's very relevant right now. That feels good. Even if it's not at that exact time, you can always still use them. But anyways, twin flames and soulmates. So twin flames, the difference between a soulmate is somebody that like matches your soul, like basically companionship. It's a mate. That's why it's called a soul mate. It's someone that, you know, you kind of like click into each other in this really organic and almost like, I guess the simple is what's coming to me. Like it's more of a simple relationship. You bring out the best in them. They bring out the best in you, and you just kind of like flow together. And, I would say that those relationship dynamics are a little bit less complicated. They're a little more simple, and it's more of like a mate and a companion type of a feeling where there's nothing. I mean, that some people, that's just their journey right now, you know, in this lifetime. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's like perfectly like divine and on time. It's just whatever you chose to ascend to. My personal belief is that every single one of us have a twin flame. It's like, why would one person not have one and one person, right? Like that doesn't even make sense to me. But anyways, it just depends on what you decided to transcend in this lifetime, whether you're, you know, have soulmates or whether you're, you know, you find your twin flame. And twin flame is your exact vibrational frequency, energy, exact mirror. So it's actually, it does go hand in hand, but you're also mirroring each other. So listen to this, Lior, listen to how wild of an experience this is. Okay. So I'm just trotting through life, right? I'm like doing my thing. I know that I'm like going through some kind of awakening. Cause like, so there's like these synchronicities, my intuition's really on par, blah, blah, blah. And I go, and I knew that something was going on with this, you know, this guy, because there was these synchronicities and things happening, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And I go to his house and I tell him, I'm like, I know there's something going on here, blah, 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 this and that. Cause I'm super real. I'm transparent. I don't give a fuck if we've only had five conversations. Like I'm going to tell you what it
is. I love that about you.
And I'm like, listen, like, I know that there's something going on here. There's some kind of synchronicities or some kind of pull. There's some kind of attraction. And I said, but to be completely honest, like I just got out of a 5-year relationship. Like I'm so ready to take some time for myself, do my own thing, heal, blah, blah, blah. And right as I'm saying this, I look up directly in his eyes to address him and what I'm saying very like with depth, you know, very intentionally. And he looks up at me, same exact thing with depth, very much intention. And I mean like that, my soul was in another person. You know the sensation when you look in the mirror, right? And when you look in the mirror in the morning and you see your soul and you look at another person and you see their soul in their body. No. With a twin flame, your soul got split in half into two different beings in this lifetime. You're in two different bodies. So my soul is literally in another person's human being's body.
Oh my God.
And I know that neither of us were prepared for that. Cause I mean, it happened and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm looking in the mirror. Like what the fuck? And then like, he didn't even know how to handle himself and handle his body. He just gets up. I like pour my heart out. And he just gets up and he's like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And then you're like going through this massive Kundalini wake. After that, that's whenever I met spirit. I had a one-on-one conversation with the creator of all fucking things, which was, that's a whole nother like mind-blowing experience. Full activation, like fully online, full Kundalini awakening. I remembered my soul. I remembered who I really was. I remembered my purpose, like who I was before this lifetime. You know how you come to earth and you forget. I remembered it all. I found me in another human body. So I found myself again. Finally, on Earth, I found myself. Does that make sense?
That's so incredible. Yeah.
But then, go ahead.
Guys made eye contact that you felt that Kundalini moment.
No. When we made eye contact, I mean, it was
that
definitely
was the recognition.
Yes. Okay. It was very big. It was very striking. And like we were both, we're just like, what the fuck just happened? You know, like, I mean, we were like, we couldn't even act like ourselves. Like at that point, it was just like, he's going to the bathroom. I'm like, all right, I've got my shit. Like, I'm ready to get out of here. Like we're both like, what the fuck just happened? And then it was probably, I would say it was within 3 days, and I was actually laying, I was by myself. Cause here's a thing that people get mixed up about twin flames is that they think that like they need this person in order to complete all of their like twin lessons and their twin journey. But the reality is that you ascended in a divine feminine and a divine masculine in this time. It is your soul split into two different human being bodies, but that doesn't mean that you're not still your own being in your own body. Like people, because it's so unified and because it is one soul, it's like they think that they need that person in order to complete their own twin flame journey. And it's like, no, you are still your own sovereign being. Just because your soul is split into different bodies doesn't mean you're not still in your own body. Like I'm still my own, you know? And so I had my awakening on my own. I was laying in my bed and I was reading this self-help book, and I'm like laying in my bed, and I'm like, my face is in the book. And then out of nowhere, this sensation just comes over me, and I look up, and God's light, like I'm talking about pure, potent love, strong white light, comes down like directly from the center right in front of me and comes down over me. And then I'm just like in this huge white light telling me who I've always been, all of these lifetimes that I've lived, what I'm going to do on this earth, who I'm going to serve, how I'm going to do it. I mean, everything.
All at once.
I was like, I'm like, how am I supposed to do it? Like, what is happening right now? I had no idea. Like, and now, you know, I'm 4 or 5 years deep into my purpose, you know, and really having it in this structured way and really honoring what that is with clarity. You know, it brought a lot of clarity. I see now, I'm like, okay, what you were telling me is not actually that far-fetched. Like, I get it now. But at that time, like, I was still victim mode Brittany. Like I was still a victim to this life. I still didn't know who I was and was just like bobbling around and didn't understand that I was the creator. You know, I was just beginning to understand that I was the creator. And then it was like, boom, you're going to do like all these things. And I'm like, but that's what a twin flame Kundalini awakening is. I'm not the only one that has experienced that. That's just the twin flame. Whenever you have, that's why it's called specifically a twin flame Kundalini awakening, because there is Kundalini awakenings that are a little bit different. It isn't activation of your energy, but a twin flame Kundalini awakening is that white light. You're like in the white room, you meet with God, like literally direct conversation with our creator.
Yeah.
Every download of everything that you've ever known comes back into your being. And yeah. And I, Lior, I saw every lifetime that I previously lived and every lifetime that I'm going to live in the future. Ooh. Like in one moment, it was like, and I was like, what? Yeah.
Like, give me time to take some notes.
Oh, I know. God. Exactly. And then the next thing you know, like it comes out from over me. And then I'm like, just sitting, the book is now on my lap. Cause like I've released my hands, you know, and it's just like sitting there in front of me. And I'm like, did that really just fucking happen? But I'm like fully online. I knew that it had, I couldn't even leave my house for 3 days. I was so activated. I tried to, cause I was living in a small town in the mountains where I could walk to the grocery store from my little apartment. And I tried to leave my house after 2 days and I called into work. I was like, I was so activated. I went to the grocery store. Everyone's energy was overwhelming me. There was this grandmother that like her granddaughter was in aisle 3 and she's like, I mean, I see her full face, like her full being. And she's like, I need you to give my granddaughter some messages. And I'm like, What a book. I'm like, I'm going home. I threw my whole cart in the corner and I just fucking, I had like four items at that point. I like couldn't even, yeah. And I called into work on the third day and I was like, listen, guys, I'm just going through something. Like, I just can't, it's going to be too much for me. I knew I was going to come down from that high, you know, like I just wanted to stay in my own little vortex for a minute. So anyways,
enjoy that and like let it integrate.
Yeah.
That's so much energy to like know what to do with all at one time.
And the amount of synchronicities after, like I went into work on, it was the fifth day, cause I was supposed to go in on that third day. And then I had, you know, 2 days and then I went in on the fifth day. And there was this woman that whole story is a whole other thing, but I just feel called to say this one little part, that she had just started at, wasn't actually working at the restaurant. She came in to rework. It was a restaurant for like an artist. She was a Ukrainian artist and it was like a gallery. And then we had like a little bistro in the back and I worked in the kitchen. And I'm sitting there making cookies, just stirring up cookies. And this woman had came in, they hired her to redesign the whole gallery and make it more like people buy, you know, more stuff. And so I never really met her and she just had started and she comes back in the kitchen and I'm just sitting there like freaking making cookies. And she stopped and dropped. She had this like white parchment paper in her hand. She drops the parchment paper and she looks at me and she goes, oh my God, God's light is just shining down through you. Like I see this white channel above you. And I'm just like, oh my God, you see it too? Cause I just had this crazy experience and I wasn't sure if it was really happening. Come to find out that she actually works at the church. Like she works underneath the priest.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
you would be able to witness that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, but that having a conversation with her was like super helpful. Cause I literally thought that I was going fucking crazy in the middle of the woods by myself.
Right. Oh my God. We love that validation that like, you know, when other people are able to be on the same frequency.
Yeah. Right?
We see things as we are. So when you see someone who is able to get there, it feels like relief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. To be witnessed and to be seen. That is I feel like you just said relief. That is like the best word. It is relief. It's like this sense of like, okay, I'm even in our relationships, like even in our dynamics, like when someone really sees you and sees where you're at or what your emotions are, or what you're experiencing, relief. That is such a good word, Lior. Yeah. That is really what it is.
It's
thank
like,
you for that. That's like good medicine for my life right now.
I think about that a lot because I noticed that a lot of the rituals that I enjoy, I struggle to do if I am completely alone. Like I need the added effort of, right? Like a lot of my self-portrait sessions are really just, I wanted to sing to the plants and I didn't feel like I could sing to the plants unless there was that mirror there.
Interesting.
You know, and sort of like using things to create the mirror that we need to have that sensation while we're like working through things.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually used to record it, especially in the beginning of my spiritual journey, whenever I really didn't feel like I had much, like now I've collected a lot of soul fam, you know, that like they get it and we could talk about it. But in the beginning, I would just record videos of myself. Like just to be seen, like that's exactly what it was, is just to be seen, to have that mirror, to be witnessed in what I was experiencing. And yeah, so then basically the twin flame journey just sent me on a whole trajectory of shadow work and just coming home to myself and my sovereignty on a whole nother plane. And then, not to skip over the labor that a twin flame journey really is, but union is incredible. It is you, it's a returning home. It's like shedding all of the shit. That's all the shadow work, like shedding all of the layers of the onions or taking off all the sweaters of all the shit that you weren't, you know, when you finally realized who you are, and then it's like, oh, okay, then I got to take this off and I got to take this off and I got to take this off. Cause this is just not who I really am. And then when you finally have all of the you know, if you were to say sweaters or onions, the layers, you're finally all off and you're just, you're nude and you're naked and you're raw and you're who you are. That when all of those sweaters finally really come off, that's whenever you come into physical union with your twin, because you are anchored in who you are and they are the exact mirror of who you are. They are you in another human body. So when you return fully to yourself and you're anchored in who you actually are, like I said, raw, naked, like just you, then immediately, energetically, immediately your twin comes and appears in your physical reality and you guys come in together into physical union. Because they are you. There is literally no separation between the two. The only separation is the body, which is actually what this all is anyways. Do you get right. what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why I say that it's a little bit more complicated than the soulmate relationship, because they mirror everything back to you and it drives you insane. But it's also the greatest gift because it is exactly what we're actually experiencing in this reality. But directly, it's directly in your face through this one individual being. I don't even like to say person, because I don't want you, if you're a listener, I don't want you, this is really, really, really key. If you resonate with a twin flame journey or you've had a twin flame Kundalini awakening, the best piece of advice that I can give you is do not attach to that person. It's not about that person. It's about the twin flame energy. The energy is your mirror, not that person. That person maybe that mirror person, but it also could be someone else. And that was my biggest thing, was to come into union, was to release the expectations. I was so attached. I was like, it has to be him. This is who I had this experience with. It has to be him. He ignited all of this in me. How could it be anybody else? But that is what expectations are. And expectations create a lot of resistance within our field. And so, you know, releasing what you think is best for you or what you think what this is, and saying, you know, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, I know that you know me better than I even know myself. Mm-hmm. So you show me what the twin flame energy is. You reveal to me what this is supposed to be for me, not my idea of what this is supposed to look like.
Right.
So it's really it's a very surrender journey where with soulmates, there is definitely a level of surrender, but it's more of like kind of this like back and forth and like companion, pal, you know, mate kind of an energy where you're like, I bring out the best in you. You bring out the best in me. We're like best friends. We like really can support one another's like strengths, where like you and your twin flame, every single thing is like the same side of the same coin. Mm-hmm. There's not like, oh, this person's working on this and I'm like supporting them. And yeah, it might cause a little bit of trigger, a little bit of trauma. It's like, no, my deepest trauma is the exact match to your deepest trauma. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That sounds like such a like high contrast and maybe even like tumultuous is the wrong word, but challenging.
Yeah. It is very challenging. Well, every aspect of it is like looking in the mirror. Like you want to point your finger. Well, guess what? They're your mirror. So you're actually looking in the mirror, hun. Yeah. And that's really freaking hard to do. Sometimes you just want to break. Like sometimes you just want to be like, no, it's really your fault.
Right. Yeah. That's so humbling to just like have this, you know, presence in your life where you're not able to fall back into those old patterns of like the blame game and all of those things. And you're just sort of forced to stay awake and stay vigilant and deal with the reality of what you're going through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no running. There's no hiding. It's like full X-ray exposure. It's tough, but it's for souls that really, really want to ascend in this lifetime. That's what I mean. It's just a matter of a choice. Like sometimes we come to earth just to fucking play for a lifetime. Like we don't want to be doing all that shit and do all that work. Like I just want to come fucking play and enjoy earth. And if that's your soul's journey, then you might be with a soulmate. So that way you guys can just play and hang out and be mates and be best of friends. And that doesn't, like it's almost like twin flames are like put on this pedestal because it is such an intense ascension process. Right. And like, yeah, it's a very particular soul journey and blueprint. It's like almost like they're kind of put on this pedestal and it's like, no, it's just the specific soul journey that you chose in this lifetime. You right. know, sometimes you want to like, yes, exactly. Right. None are better or worse. It's just what you decided.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Ooh. So tell me about when Spirit decided that you would become a mother.
Interesting. Okay. So I was actually just telling, I have a mommy meetup group that I go every Monday. It's actually really cool. It's like conscious mothers and we've like all like found each other.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was just telling one of the other mothers, like how, you know, DJ and I got together and, I would say it was like April of this, not this last year, but the year before, I knew my nephew really ignited the mother in me. Whenever he was born, I just knew, like, I always was like, oh, I could have kids. I could not have kids. You know, we'll just see what the journey looks like. And then as soon as my nephew was born, I was like, oh my God, you melt my heart into a million pieces. I want to experience this for myself. You know, it was so powerful. It was so potent. And I was even traveling at that time. So I wasn't even there that much. I was only coming back to visit, but those times where I would come, he would just pull something out of me that I'd never experienced before. So it definitely, he definitely planted the seed, and he actually was born 3 months before my, Kundalini awakening. Ooh. My twin flame Kundalini. Wait. Yeah. So he like brought that out of me, and then, it was just like ignited. And so anyways, so I knew that I wanted to become a mother whenever he was born. So that was about 4 years ago. And then, it was about April, not last year, but the year before, I knew that I was finally like, I don't know. You just get to this place in your twin journey where you're like, okay, I can feel their energy. They're in my field. Like they're right there. There's not this like far separation anymore. It doesn't feel like unrealistic for us to come together. I don't have all this like trauma that I'm projecting on this, you know, being or this energy. You've healed yourself quite a bit. And I don't know if you know this story, Lior, but I was just telling it yesterday that in April of not last year, but the year before, I did the same thing basically that I did whenever I was 19. I packed up all my shit and Spirit told me, you're coming into union with your twin. You guys are going to start a family. Like you need to like, you know, and I kept saying, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? For months, probably since like February, March. I was like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And then in April, Spirit was like, no, you need to go get him. Like he's up, he's at your home. And I grew up in Jersey. So I was like home, like Jersey. And it was like, yes. And I was like, oh my God, I have to pack up all my shit again. Yeah. So I closed my office, which majorly affected my business. I closed my office. I packed up all my stuff, put it in a storage unit. And I took off on the road and I was living out of my car for like 3 months. And then I was staying in, a friend of my brother's that we grew up with. He had a rental home that divine timing was open. Like there was just some repairs and things that he needed to do on it in between his renters. So he was like doing a lag month. And he was like, honestly, Britt, like if you could stay there, that would be awesome. Because then somebody's there. Like, it's not good whenever a house is just sitting, you know, right. And then we can just come and do the repairs or whatever. And I was like, free place to stay for a month while I'm traveling, a whole house, 3-bedroom house to myself, fully furnished, like ready to go. Like, yes. So I was staying in that house. Then DJ, basically what happened was, is I broke the shower and accidentally. Yeah. And DJ, you know, he was like, I'm going to call my buddy. He's like kind of just like a handyman. He can totally fix it, take care of it. And then DJ walked in the door and it was just like OB from that moment on. And so, yeah.
Oh my God. Sometimes Spirit really be doing some elaborate gymnastics to bring the pieces together. I love how like, that's so specific. Like what are the chances?
Yeah. And listen to this, Lior, listen how beautiful this is. My parents got together because my mom's bath was leaking and my stepdad came to fix the tub. And it was OV from there. I literally called my mom and she was like, get your own damn story. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Wow. My heart is like exploding over that.
So then listen to this. So I take off in April, right? Or no, I finally left at the end of June. When I'm leaving, like all of my family, they're like, dude, your business, like all this, like, what are you thinking? You know? And I'm like, and I kept saying, I even said it to my grandparents who are super religious. I said it to my aunt who's also very religious. I said it to everybody because I knew what spirit was saying so clearly. I mean, I had been on this twin flame journey for 3 years now, and I knew this is different. What is happening here is different. And so I told all of them, I said, I'm probably going to be back in a few months. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. I just have to go get the love of my life. So that way we can like start our family and do our thing. And they're literally all looking at me like I'm insane. Okay. And then I go on the road and within 3 months found DJ. We came home and within 2 weeks of being home, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? That's so like, damn, rapid fire.
That's how I roll, yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you know in that moment, like when you found out that you were pregnant, like how did you know that DJ would be open to it? Like, were you afraid when you told him?
We had talked about it, you know, like basically, I mean, I knew he was my twin and I knew we were coming into union, like the level of synchronicities, like I have like literally listed in my phone because they were getting so excessive that I had to start writing them down in order to track all of these insane, like this thing with this eagle and like, yeah, there's, I mean, all insane level of like, what the fuck? And so I knew beyond shadow of a doubt that this is my person. And I told him like, listen, I want babies. Like, I know that I'm meant to be a mother. I want to have children. And he said like, I've never wanted to have kids ever, but now I do. Like, he literally told his entire family, like never to expect kids from him. Like he won't be a father. He doesn't want to be a father, you know, like he's not going to be having kids. And then literally met me. And he was like, I can be a father now. Like, I didn't think I could be a father because I was with all these like girls, you know, these like girls, basically not a woman, you know? And yeah, so I honestly, one thing spirit definitely threw me off with was how fast. I didn't think it would happen that fast. Spirit definitely threw me off a whirl with that because we were only together for 3 months. We were still like, even though we had been together spiritually, like over the last 3 years, meeting up and like in astral and all kinds of stuff, in the physical, you still have some shit to work out. You know, you're in these physical bodies. And so I just didn't think that it would happen that fast. Now that we're coming into harmonious union, I see why that all had to happen the way that it did. You know, it makes sense why I had to get pregnant immediately. But yeah, I mean, then that set a whole new trajectory. I mean, I already knew that I was pregnant before I saw it on the test. Just because I know my body so well. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, shit.
What was your first signal that like something was awry?
I was on the treadmill in the gym and my boobs were super sensitive. They were like jiggling.
Oh, and it was like nipples. Yeah. You're like, that's different.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not what I usually feel like when I'm running. Yeah. And multiple other things, you know, like, just like cravings and yeah, just like little stuff that it was like, what the fuck am I doing right now? But the moment that I found out that I was pregnant, like my entire consciousness shifted and I am just now understanding what happened. Cause DJ would say it all the time. He's like, dude, you literally shifted as an entire person whenever you found out that we were pregnant. Like you've just changed so much. And I realized that what it was that my mother awakened and in that moment. And first what had to come forward first, and this is why it was so important for us to be pregnant and to be able to walk through our, like our own individual traumas and mistrust. And there's things that even though you're very connected spiritually in this physical lifetime, you've experienced trauma and you're kind of like, whoa, like, are you like, I know we're super connected, but like, can I trust you? You know? And so, yeah, what happened was, and I'm now healing it. I'm now realizing and healing it is that what came forward was the mother consciousness, but what it was what I knew as the mother consciousness. So basically I became my mother in an instant.
Oh my God. Wow.
And so now that I've realized that a year later, I'm like, oh, what I want to be is the healed mother, not the wounded mother, right. Not the mother that I've always known as mother. I want to be me mother. And mm-hmm. So I'm walking through, you know, that journey of transitioning myself and my consciousness to the healed mother, to being me mother, not just what I know as mother. Right. But yeah, I shifted literally. I mean, that's why I bought like 7 pregnancy tests in like 3 days because I just wanted to know so bad. It's like that, like we were talking about being seen, like that confirmation, right. That like affirmation. I'm like, I know I'm pregnant. I just want to know so bad. Someone just tell me that I really am because I know that I am.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then speaking of, you know, the body and the body journey, like my pregnancy was, I'm not trying to put down, I know other people have very serious complications and mine were more on the technical scale of the health system, minor, but mm-hmm. my minor, you know, complications affected, it's like they dispersed and affected all of these other things that are not so minor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so basically what happened was in the seventh week of my pregnancy, this is before I even got my first ultrasound, I had an ovarian cyst form and it was literally, they're very common in pregnancy, but usually like this size, mine was the size of a grapefruit.
Oh my God.
So I have a literal grapefruit, like hanging on my ovary.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the weight of that baby.
Well, she was so small at that point. She was 7 weeks. So then she had to grow around the cyst. Yeah. Oh. And I tried to get surgery. That's a whole nother story with the health system and them not respecting female parts, but that's a whole nother story in itself.
Oh God.
But yeah, I had, and also the cyst is on my right side. And so the cyst is down in my pelvis on my right side. She was never able to drop in. That's why I had to have a C-section. She couldn't make it past the cyst.
Space up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was in the bottom of my pelvis. And then also because it's prominently on the right side, she was squished to the left. So my pelvis for 9 months is like this, mm-hmm. which then affects my whole right side of my body is tilted and everything's being pulled. Like my right knee is so fucked up now because the ligaments and everything was pulled for 9 months. And I had to like really stop using my body the same way that I was used to working out. All of these things had to like basically come to an immediate halt because when I was
doing, my gosh, which is already so like to stop doing your exercises when you're in a space where there's so much relaxing and the estradiol and all of those hormones that make your body soften. Like, oh my God, that sounds like a nightmare. Like,
yeah, and
so much pain
and mental clarity. Like, I love working out, but really it brings me a deep sense of mental clarity and my hormones are already going crazy and I'm freaking losing it. And then I can't I can do other things that give me mental clarity, but nothing really hits me in the same way that exercising does for my mind. You know, it's like a specific type of medicine, you know, that you drink. And so I like all of that was like ripped out from under me. Pretty much instantly. I was laying in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and I had this huge ball just come bulging out of my stomach. My first ultrasound of my child was in a hospital because I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Right.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, that, surrendering to the fact that, like, I had, you know, and you know, I love them and I know they just don't understand the journey, but I had friends, you know, like I had a really good friend of mine, like one of my really closest friends. She was like, yeah, you know that people do work out when they're pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of that. Like, I would be if I could. And it's like, people just don't. It's a lot of the time when it comes to the body, until someone experiences a physical ailment or a limitation themselves, they don't understand that you actually and truly are limited. It's almost like in the spiritual woo world, they're like, oh, it's just in your mind, like manifest a better body.
My pet peeve. I hate it. I hate it. I'm like, can you?
We're done with that. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And I got a lot of that. Like, I was basically gaslit through my whole pregnancy because I was in the workout world. Like, I was in like the lifting weights and the doing all of that world. And then all of a sudden I got pregnant and it was like, I was treated like I was using it as some excuse to be lazy or something. Right. And I'm like, dude, and now dealing with my knee now, like I'm recovering my knee. I'm like, if I would have tried to continue to lift weights or do jumps or anything, like this would be 20 times worse. Like this would be so much worse. I'm glad that I trusted myself and took it easy and took care of myself, even though it was, I literally felt like I was being shamed for my choices.
It's wild how as soon as you become a mother, everyone thinks that their opinions matter all of a sudden. And it's like, I like did not just automatically become property of the state. You know, I didn't, you're not invited to comment just because now you notice something, like off.
Dude, the amount of unsolicited advice with motherhood is on, or I should say parenthood, because dad's like, Susan, too.
You're not going to fix your fucked up kids by trying to tell me in the produce aisle what I should or shouldn't be doing with mine.
Oh my God. And it's so funny because I share so much of my life on social media that it was so obvious to me, because I'm like, dude, would you ever say anything about what I'm eating or drinking or how often I'm exercising or any of that? You guys never made those comments before. You never replied to my stories and say anything along those lines. But now, because I'm pregnant, you think it's okay for you to ask me why I'm eating that or why I'm doing, like, what? What?
What is the business?
Oh my God. And I get that we all care about our kids in this world. I really do. We all have a really soft place in our hearts for the children of this world. And I get that there, you know, to some extent it comes from this empathetic place for children. I get where it comes from, but that does not change that I am not still my own human being. Yes. It's so misplaced. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think there's this like bypassing of the mother in people's desire to express their concern or act on their concern for children. Like, of course the next generation is all of our concern. They are the custodians of the earth that will inherit what we are currently caring for. So of course it's a collective concern, but the way that we express that has to go through the mother. Meaning, if I care about your baby, I say, Brittany, what do you need? How can I help you? Like, instead of trying to pretend like I know where the resources are supposed to go, like this baby knows one person in this entire fucking planet. You. That's it. He only knows you. So like, you know, allowing mothers to be the authority on their babies and recognizing that you are effectively one being until at least they're five. They don't even have their own nervous system until five.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's crazy. So many people will still talk about, you know, the cry it out method or like, oh, they'll settle themselves. This baby don't have a nervous system. It's just a brain floating around with some jello and bones.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even really held together very well. Like, you know, like, no, can't cry themselves out.
And actually, even you just speaking that out, it really is. It literally, like, I pictured this one time when I was like doing some level of self-soothing, you know, with Gaia. But what I did is that I literally just, held her hand while she was crying, you know, like I let her wrap her hand around my finger. And then I started, well, the reason why she was upset is because I was trying to finish up what I was making at the table, you know, in the kitchen. She was already at the table. I'd already sat her down and she was not having that.
Yeah.
but I needed both my hands to put it all together. And so she was very upset by the time that I made it to the table, you know? And so then I held her hand while I was eating. And then as she got herself out of the like squinting, like her eyes aren't even open, you know, she's just so upset. Once she started to open her eyes and she's settling herself a little bit, I looked her super deeply in the eyes. Like I basically gave her my, like you were just saying, it was really resonant because I gave her my regulated nervous system. And I like gifted that to her through our eye contact, through our soul contact. And then she just sat there and held my hand and we're just staring each other's eyes and slowly but surely. So she did work herself down. All I did was bear witness to her and give her my full presence. So she did learn some level of, oh, this is how I work myself down. I use my breath and I, you know, but not abandon her and just leave her there to eventually cry enough that she is exhausted. And
This is how learned helplessness happens. Like, we don't need more children that feel helpless when they're frustrated. Like, we need children that know that they are going to be frustrated, that expect to become frustrated and know that they can, okay, but mom's got me, but dad's got me. Like, this is going to suck, but I know that I can ask for help if I get overwhelmed.
And I can be seen in it. It's not, it's okay. I can be seen and witnessed in this. Yes.
I mean, you're not bad or suddenly not part of the family because you're experiencing
I see it so much. Oh, it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I remember just what's popping in my head is this one time I was at the lake house and my stepdad invited some of his family members he hasn't seen in a while. And they were like, we were about to go out down to the fire and they put their child down and he is bawling. And we're all just like, we're all going to walk down to the fire right now. Like your kid's crying in the other room. Are we good? And they're like, oh no, he'll just do that for a little while. And I'm just like, I didn't even know how to, I'm like, I want to go back and handle your child. But I feel like, I can't cross boundaries. Like I have to like honor what you guys are choosing as parents, but I just see it. And I'm like, this breaks my heart that there are really children that are still being raised. Like we are almost in 2023 people. Like, how do you not understand that that is not okay? You can't, it doesn't work. They're too young. They're too small. Like you said, once they have stability and they know how to not only have their nervous system, but work with it, you know, it's not even just having it, but how to work with it, then that's a little bit different. But I'm glad that crying it out is becoming more popular. Like that does not work, you know?
Yeah.
It is definitely becoming more mainstream. Like people are like, oh God, I don't do that with my kid, but there are still people that do it. And I'm just like, I don't know how that works for you. I don't know how the empathy in your heart isn't just shattering, but.
And also then like the guilt that parents have to live with because your nervous system being so interconnected with them, like you are suffering, you are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you can lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're not. Yes. But you are, you really are. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think about that a lot. Like I'm glad that the conversation now, you know, 12 years since I had my son is now shifting to like, don't leave them alone when they're upset or don't just try to, you know, abandon them out of having big feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when my son was little, I had people that would suggest like physical punishment or were like, why, you know, put him in a timeout. And I'm like, he's fucking one. Like, I'm not putting a year-old child in a timeout or even a three-year-old.
He's upset?
Like, I have no idea really what is like going on yet. Like, I'm not gonna, you know.
And being upset is not a reason to be in the corner.
Like, right.
You have emotions. You're a human.
You're allowed to be upset. There's shit worth getting upset about sometimes, you know? Oh, so, you know, like, I'm just grateful that we've come that far. And I know that there is a whole generation of children being born that aren't going to pass on those intergenerational traumas. Right. And like, will not be our grandmother's failures and our grandfather's failures, but will be like what we actually need to bring this world to the place where we know it can be.
Yes, exactly. More acceptance and just unification in general.
So how do you feel like becoming a mother like changed your intuition or your your purpose? Like, how did that evolve or grow?
Very interesting question. I actually I love explaining this because it's my jam. It's my purpose. But basically, how I try and explain this to other mothers from my experience is that this is how well I know my intuition is that whenever I call it the mother intuition turned online, I honestly, it was like almost like I was starting back to the basics with intuition because I didn't trust you. Oh. I didn't trust this voice. I didn't know you. I hadn't heard your voice. I've never known it in this lifetime. I wasn't a mother. So this mother's intuition that would ding on or say something or whatever, chime in. I was like, I don't know you. I don't trust you. You got to show yourself. You got to prove yourself, you know? And so it took me, that was like, I was saying the wounded mother. It took me about a year to figure out what was the wounded mother and what was the healed mother. And they're both your intuitive voice. The ego is a part of your intuition. They are both the higher self and the ego both play a role in your intuition. They're both. And yeah. And that's why people like they push away the ego, but actually integrating the ego and allowing it to be a part of your intuition is what really ignites your intuition. Allowing it to have space and to be honored and to say like, okay, you have a voice here. You're right. You've been on earth for a while. You know, you've been doing this thing for 29 years.
Well, that makes sense because the ego is supposed to be in service to the soul's work. So if you just sort of leave it to go do its own thing, it's not going to choose to be in alignment. You need that integration.
They need to work together. And so, and then each and own, you know, this is like really getting an intuition here. Each own intuitive voice has its, each branch of that has its own ego and higher self. So the mother had her own ego and higher self that I was working with. And I was listening to a lot of the ego and the trauma, the wounded mother, what I knew as mother. And then I finally recognized that I need to listen to my higher self mother, my own intuitive mother essence. So yes, honoring what I have known and seen as mother, you know, my ego mother, but also what is my higher self? What is my higher knowing as a mother in my individual reality, and being able to really combine those and allow them to have a voice together in my life. How I explain it to other, the best way of me saying it is that it's the mother's intuition. It's not that, you know, it's, you know, they call it the mama bear or, you know, that's the main thing that I've really heard is like the mother or the mama bear, but it's the mother's intuition is what it is. It's the, or the mother's instinct is what it's called.
It does feel very primal for me. Like it's a very feral feeling. Like I've never necessarily like thought that I've always been a very nonviolent person. I enjoy conflict because I'm Italian, but I don't actually want to act on any of it. I just want to like play, fight, argue, you know, in like a loving way. Becoming a mother before I was really like prepared as an adult for it, because I didn't really even know my own voice at that time. Mm-hmm. And then getting that influx of that fucking primal knowing that just is like so Kali, is so like, I will burn this fucking place down if you don't respect this. And like, it was so much to handle. I like really wasn't, I wasn't expecting that. It took me a long time to like figure out how to work with that and be like, and gentle it a little bit, or, you know, bring it to a place where like, hey, like I see your big fire and like, you can start small before you bring out the big guns. We don't actually need to like come in blazing every time, you know?
Which so I'm curious,
right?
Did was you? Yes, exactly. The wounded. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm curious, do you remember and it might be too far away now, like too far in the past to remember the specific moment, but do you remember by any chance the specific moment when that mama bear turned online?
I remember being afraid of myself because when I got into a now, I got pregnant when I was 16, and my son's father, like, he was a child. He wasn't ready to have a baby, and he tried to convince me not to have this baby. And he's not a spiritual person, so me being like, I know that God chose this for me. I know that I have to do this. I know that it seems like I'm gonna die, but I need you to trust me that it's not what it is. And,
It's actually really divine.
right, I'm like, no, this is me going through the desert. This is my 40 days, man. You gotta give me this. Like, just trust me. And I'm trying to, like, bring that faith perspective to him, and he was so full of doubt and the rage that was in me that I didn't know how to work with. It just lit everything up and was like, I will fucking burn this bridge. I don't need you. If you want to be a part of this baby's life, you are welcome to be part of it. But if you don't want it, don't come asking for it later. Okay, so make your fucking bed and pick it. And it sort of like blew things up. At the time, I have no regrets. Things worked out. We have a great relationship now. But at the time, I felt like I needed to do this. I needed to separate from him. And he similarly thought that I would just, choose to get an abortion if I was alone. I wouldn't last long. So we both had these sort of motivations underlying. And so when those hormones hit and all that fire was present, and my body wanted justice. Was like out for blood, really. And so the level of intensity, was so extreme, and it added so much conflict to our relationship and so many wounds of things that I just couldn't take back because I had said them and I had made them real. Weren't all the way true. I said them. So he has to live with the memory of me saying those horrible things for the rest of his life. And, I'm very grateful to have come back from that, but I could easily see how, the history of women having hysteria, right? Like, we think about the mental health treatment of women in the past and how we didn't know about postpartum depression, and we didn't know about all of these things that are really just like not knowing
Real.
what to do with the feral fire of motherhood. Because, like, once you become a mom, you also get the strength to defend this thing that wasn't there before. You didn't need to be that strong before. God didn't give you that. Then what, but once the baby's here, like once they exist on this plane, it's like you get a whole new avatar in a way, and surrendering to like figuring out how to deal with that and accept that your body is capable of great harm. Like, your body is a primal weapon, and it is capable, just like all of us are capable of falling. That was super humbling for me, so.
And you speaking the part about once the baby is, that's when it happened for me. So we were in the hospital, which I wasn't really even a big fan of having my baby in a hospital, but the complications, I didn't really have much of a choice. And because she was so small because of the cyst, she was full term, but she had been fighting for space, for her whole life, up until that point. And because she was so small, they were like worried about her blood sugar or something. I don't know, some fucking bullshit, in my opinion. And what they were doing was every single time that I went to feed, listen to this, Lior, brand new baby in the world. I'm talking first day of life shit. Every time that the baby would cry because it wanted to breastfeed, I would have to hold on, wait a second, call the desk at the front, and then when they got around to it, they would send somebody in to puncture her foot, take her blood, and test her blood sugar right before her feeding. Over and over at every single feeding, which is like every 2 hours, right?
Oh, that poor girl.
I mean, the mother bear in me. I just it would probably like, it was probably like 4 or 5 times that I did it, thinking I was doing the right thing for my baby. And then my intuition was just like, yo, this is so painful for her. This is her first day on earth. All she wants to do is be in her arms. She doesn't want to be in this random lady's arms getting punctured and poked and prodded. And like, no, this is not what she actually wants. And I mean, it was this mama bear came through and came over and was like, I'm not calling you anymore. If you all happen to fucking be here in time, then maybe I will let you prick my child. But I really don't want my child pricked and prodded anymore. And then it all came out. And I was like, and actually, we are going to bed at this time because you know how they come. I don't know if you experience, but they come all throughout the night to do all these tests and they keep you up all night long after you've just had a surgery or birthed a child. And I was like, and actually our lights go out at this time and da 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 da. And I mean, I laid down the whole fucking law everywhere and they knew, like, if you walk in her room, like, get ready. Cause you're dealing with mama bear. Like, you get ready. Yeah. And there was one, most of them respected it, to be completely honest, which I was very grateful for, but there was one lady, she didn't speak very strong English and she came in and flipped on our lights. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I popped out of that bed and I was like, turn that light off. I was like, turn that light off. I told you guys, our lights go off at 10 PM. They do not turn on until 6 AM, like blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, well, usually we don't work in the dark. And I said, would you like us to get you a flashlight? And we did. DJ got her both of our phones and we had our flashlights on and she's like changing the sheets on the bed and shit and doing whatever the fuck she needed, changing towels and doing whatever she needed to do. And she was like, usually you don't work in the dark. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you usually do. You're in my room.
I love that.
And
yeah.
That's when I knew. Yeah. I was like, mama bear is online. Like Brittany would never usually do that ever. Like that is, I mean, not that I don't stand my own ground and I'm not like in my power, but I just, it doesn't matter enough to me. Like I would just usually be like, whatever. Yeah. Come do whatever you need to fuck to do so I can get out of here, you know? But like you said, when that thing is there for you to defend, Gaia did not have a voice for herself in that moment. And I had to be her voice. I knew this was uncomfortable. I knew she was done being poked and prodded. I knew we were all done being woke up all through the night, you know? And it was like boundaries, bro. Mama voice is fully on.
The mother voice is so, so very much about boundaries. And I think that was like the most beautiful gift that I received from the mother intuition. Because I've never been someone who understood boundaries. It was either they were fucking stone, they were titanium, you're not getting through it, or they don't exist. And it was just this constant yo-yo back and forth between those two things. I was never really like fully integrating. And granted, it took a lot of years. I'm not going to lie. It took probably until my son was like 6 or 7 years old before I fully got through all of the boundaries, like just sort of like realigned and I could figure it out. It was also coordinated with me having my first orgasm with another human being, which is crazy to be like, I got pregnant and I didn't even get to experience the good part of sex. Like, come on. Damn. Robbed me.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's okay. I you know, God made up for it. We've had a lot of good sex since then. So I do feel very blessed and I've gotten to explore and reclaim and experiment and be you know, a shapeshifter in that realm. But it was like, it really took me that long to figure out how to like listen to that voice so that it wasn't always rage, because I had spent so much time being like, trying to like be in that resistance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it doesn't click until the acceptance and the surrender is there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it makes sense that it was like, especially with your age and then, you know, 6 and 7 is when they're a little bit more in their own, you know, personality and can have. My nephew is 4 and really starting to get his own voice. Like he's starting to step into his sovereignty. And I'm like, 5, 6, 7, and you're going to be totally on, you know, your own human, doing whatever the hell you want all the time, you know, pretty much. I mean, you know, with some guidance.
It happens fast like that though.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. So it makes sense that like 6, 7 range was whenever spirit was like, okay, now we can address you. Here you go, mama. Here's your pleasure.
Yeah. Sorry we were holding that back for you. Yeah. But be extra good now because you've really been wanting it, huh?
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. Yeah, it's insane. It's such a, and I think the boundary, the reason why the boundaries thing is so incredibly important for the mother journey is because it's remothering ourselves. It's self-care. It's taking care of ourselves. And our child just becomes the reason or the excuse for us to actually right. finally take care of ourselves and do what we actually do need to do and what it is in alignment with us. I was just telling DJ that earlier. I was like, I wish that I would have, you know, you were asking about my business. How has that changed my business? Gaia has completely changed the game in my whole business because I want to be with her. And it's like, I don't have to do every single thing live. Like I can have recorded courses. I can have recorded, you know, just like my meditations. It's like, I don't have to do my meditation live for you. Then you can rewatch it a million times. So she is, and I was telling Gia this morning, I'm like, I wish I would have done this for myself years ago. I'm glad that she's my motivation, but I really, that's what it is. It's finally taking care of yourself and finally doing what you really need to do for yourself. They are just the catalyst for it and the reason for it.
Ah, I love that. That's so gorgeous. I feel like, I feel like that's a beautiful, beautiful note to end on. Maybe as like a closing, do you want to share, like, because surrender has been such a beautiful, and surrendering to embodiment has been such a beautiful, like, theme that we've been talking about today. Mm. Do you have like a final send off, a little recommendation, like your top tip for surrender, practicing surrender?
This is so interesting. I don't, let me just let this come through, but yeah, like, okay. I don't know exactly why this is coming through. Knowing yourself, it's almost like knowing yourself is your ability to release everything else. And that is why, that is everything that you are surrendering. And you, when you know yourself and you can surrender everything else that isn't you, you know? I know, right? I don't remember. I've never said that before, but it just
came through. That was so simple and so elegant. Like, thank you. Yes. Oh, what a juicy morsel. Gosh, mic drop.
Yeah. Perfect. 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 That makes me so happy. I was like, as soon as I like checked in, I'm like, knowing yourself, why does that make sense? Oh, actually, that does make sense.
I love how, like, as you speak, like, you allow us as listeners to really like participate in your like aha moment in the moment of epiphany, like as you capture it, you know, you like don't wait until you have the full thing. You're like, no, nah. I caught the line and I'm gonna start, you know. Yeah, it's just so precious, so precious. Mm-hmm. Well, tell everyone where they can find you on the great world wide web and learn more from you and about your story.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I have my website, divinityexperiencing.com. That's pretty much where you can find anything and everything. But I also am on Instagram, Divinity Experiencing, TikTok, Divinity Experiencing, Facebook, Divinity. You guys catching the theme yet? Literally just Google Divinity Experiencing and you will find me some way, shape, or form. I'm doing a lot. I still do readings and whatnot right now and one-on-one mentorship, but I'm really turning up the notches with my courses and really expanding those. So my teaching is, I've been teaching for 4 years now, but it's really, I'm really honing in and refining that. So yeah, check out, like I have 3 different courses. If you want to learn about money and working with money and how to turn on your abundance, I'm a huge abundance activator. So is my daughter. Gaia brought through some serious abundance codes. So I have my course, The Abundance Code. I have The Empowered Empress, if you're ready to be in your motherfucking power, and then The Intuition Development.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited to hear that you're expanding the courses because I had the pleasure of experiencing your intuition development, like just the one day workshop at Anahata's Purpose, the mini retreat. And I mean, like just watching a whole room of people be like, yo, I think I'm psychic. Oh my God, I think I'm actually psychic. Did you see what I just did? Like people that I came in being so cynical and skeptical.
Yeah.
And being like, this is never going to work for me. Like it might work for other people, but it's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
And then watching their face as they like,
I know, it's beautiful.
Oh, shit,
right?
I really knew it. I really tapped in. Like, oh my God, it was so incredible to watch. I really hope that, you know, you'll be back there again next year and we'll get to explore it all over again.
Thank you for witnessing me. I appreciate you. Yeah. Just being there. This, it's one of my most favorite things is that moment, you know, and just witnessing me and that in my teachings is just like we were saying earlier, being seen, it's just got its own special nourishment. And thank you for having me on the podcast. What a gift. Thank you so much. Oh, that's my gratitude alarm. Sorry about that.
Perfect timing, right?
Yeah.
Be grateful for. Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been incredible. I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Cool. Sounds good, my dear. Beautiful. Many blessings.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please remember to subscribe and write us a review on whichever platform you listen to the podcast on. You can also connect with me through my free newsletter every month on my website, leoralay.com. The link is in the show notes for you. You can also subscribe on Patreon for recordings of all my past classes, behind the scenes photos and videos, and my entire archive from when I started shooting back in 2012. This is a body positive, nude positive space where we can talk about all things and investigate and have deeper discussions. I always reply to all my messages on there. I don't reply to as many on Instagram, but you can find me there too at Eccentric Earthling. If there are folks you think I should chat with that I haven't yet, feel free to send me suggestions as well. Until next time, be well. Remember, no one is quite like you. Until next time, stay brave, stay open.
When I say celestial, I mean extraterrestrial. I mean accepting the alien you've rejected in your own heart. When I say hard, I mean finish the last one. There is a potato kinnish baking too long in the sun. I skirt infinity. When I say infinity, down other than your elbows, 'cause that's for